Thanks for listening to the Gate City Church podcast. We're so glad you're here. For more information on our church or our 24/7 house of prayer, please visit gatecityatl.com. Now enjoy the message.
Good morning, everyone. Good deal. Well, as he said, today is our Mission Sunday. So excited about what we're going to be talking about today. This is an annual event where we've done this for now for several years, where we've been able to put together a whole day to be able, or a whole sermon, to be able to showcase what God has been doing in the nations through our spiritual family. We were singing earlier about giving him all the glory. Isn't that what Christmas season is about? To glory in the Lord, to see the glorious man that we love, Jesus, to not take glory to ourselves. But one of the ways we can actualize that in this Christmas season is to give him all the glory, to give him all the thanks, to be grateful and have gratitude in our hearts for what he's doing in the nations of the earth. This is a wonderful opportunity to partner with God's heart today in what he's doing in nations that you'll never have the chance to visit. I mean, the majority of us in this room won't be full-time missionaries. You won't be that person, likely, who buys a one-way ticket to the hardest place you can think of and goes and makes a 10 or 20-year commitment. There are crazy people out there like that. You're going to see them on some videos here today. But all of us are called to consider our part in the Great Commission. All of us are. Where none of us are exempt of thinking it through to the very end. Lord, what is my portion? What is my place in this big story? And I love the strategy of the Lord. He's doing at least 10 things all the time at any time, but he knows that not everybody is going to buy a one-way ticket somewhere. Now, either he's only made the Great Commission for the smallest slice of humanity to obey and enjoy, or he's got a broader purpose that if we think it through just a little bit, we'll understand what all of our parts to play are. These missionaries, they go into places that are very difficult, and they go by faith. And the places where they go, they're spiritually dark. We talked about it last week, that there's a spiritual war happening, principalities and powers. These missionaries need prayer coverage. And right there, that opens up the Great Commission to a huge portion of the body of Christ that sees their prayers as powerful. We talked about that last week. Of course, there's more ways than we can participate than just prayer, though it's very, very powerful. We can participate with our finances, and that's something we're going to talk about throughout today, to be able to show you faces of where many of you who are giving finances, it's going into those families and into those nations and into the people groups in which they work. They need our prayers. They need our finances. They need our support. And as a family, as a spiritual family, as a body, as ones who are endeavoring for unity and the bond of peace, this is a simple way that we can say, Jesus, you're worthy. It really is the most simple way to close our eyes and to talk to God as our Father, and then to pull out our checkbooks and be able to go, Lord, where do you need me? You've positioned me here. I'm not called into the hardest and darkest, but I know there's those that are. How can I take my part? How can I take my means? How can I take my responsibility and see to the sending? I love givers and intercessors that give and intercede at the level that the missionary goes. Does that make sense? The missionary, the goer, the one that puts boots on the ground, the one that buys the one-way ticket, we all look at them, we go, man, how sacrificial, how heroic, how amazing. But somehow we have a disconnect with the other parts of the body of Christ that it takes in order for that missionary to be sent heroically. And we need the intercessor to go, you know what? I've got a place in this. I've got a part of the story that without me, that missionary doesn't get to go for very long. He needs my prayers. That family needs my prayer covering. And then for the businessman, the businesswoman who sees their finances as, this is all the Lord's. I just want to give him glory. And they're surrendered in that. That person is powerful in the eyes of God. And I just want to commend all of you who have faithfully prayed and faithfully sown into our missionaries over these last 10 years. Amen. It's been 10 years. We've had a prayer and missions reality for 10 years. You're going to see some videos today that we just gave our team leaders, hey, put some videos together and send it back. We're going to do a little bit of editing, but they kind of had creative license to do it the way they wanted to do it. And so they'll see the different ways they chose to do it. And there's five or six of them today that we'll go through, and then we'll give a little commentary in between. I'll bring a couple guys up on stage throughout the day, throughout this morning together, and they'll give their commentary as well. I want to give a shout out to somebody who made it all happen. This is Robin here. Robin, stand up and give a big wave. Robin administrated. Robin's one of our favorites. She administrated all this and got it all together, and it was a big deal talking to people in different nations, pulling it together. But she's more than an administrator. Robin is a graduate of our missions training school, and she's in a phase in her journey called pre-deployment, where she's right now raising funds to go into the Middle East to be a full-time missionary. So if you were just like, Lord, just make it easy on me. Just give me a missionary to support. I just want to give my money to a missionary to see them on the field. There's no better place to sow your money than Robin right there. So see Robin after the service, and she'll show you how to connect with her on her partner team. Amen. Well, with that, let's go to the screen, and we're going to look at our Middle East base and our Dubai house of prayer. So turn your attention to the screen.
Hello, Gate City family. We're the Middle East team reporting to you from Dubai, the gate city of the Middle East.
We're the Roscoes. I'm Barbara, my husband Kevin, Reese, and Hazel. And we're about to go on a 3-month sabbatical, so please be praying for us.
Yeah. We're the Billingses. I'm Grant. This is Katie. It's our daughter Levi, son Thatcher, and a new baby on the way in January. We're so excited to welcome her.
Hi, everybody. I'm Shantice. I've been here for going on 9 months. And it's been great.
Hi, we're the Garners. My name's Grant. It's my wife, Heather, and our first child coming in March.
Thank you, Gate City family, for your prayers and support. We couldn't do this without you. We love you very much.
Woo-hoo! Welcome to the House of Prayer.
Hi friends, we want to take a moment to share a little bit more about Dubai House of Prayer and what's going on in this room right here behind me. And so we're currently open about 40 hours a week here in Dubai. We've been laboring and building the House of Prayer for nearly eight years. And we've acquired about 30 staff who live and work in our city who have now become a part of our community. They've all finished our 15-week internship and have been so stirred by the House of Prayer vision that they felt called to become a part of our community and to be one of the leaders in our community that helps keep the House of Prayer open 40 hours a week. We're also partnering with 4 churches in our city. This has become a place of unity and a place of fellowship among many different churches to come together as one body to exalt the name of Jesus. We've currently been really focusing on Israel for the last month, and so we pray for many different prayer topics. We're praying for all the nations in our region throughout the Middle East for the harvest, for salvation. But because of what's currently happening in the Middle East, we've really been driving prayer into this issue. We've given all of our prayer sets to the current conflict that's happening in the Middle East for the last month. And we want to share one point of victory with you guys. We've been partnering and networking with other churches in the city. As you guys know, working with the whole body of Christ from many different denominations and backgrounds is a lot of work. But we've invested these last 8 years growing in friendship and relationship with the entire body of Christ. And just this week, we hosted 2 nights of prayer and fasting where we had over 400 believers gather together for prayer and worship and lifting up the name of Jesus. Our entire team led those 2 nights. It was a powerful moment, and we are desiring for this special event that we had to launch in 2024. Prayer and worship gatherings all across the city every 2 months, where we basically take the values of the house of prayer and bring it to the church of the city. And so for 2024, I'm super excited about seeing the house of prayer DNA and values of ministry to the Lord, exalting the name of Jesus, prophetic intercession and worship being taken all throughout the city to bless the churches of the city. Barbara?
Hi guys. So I'm going to share a little bit about the region. And so the Lord has put it on our hearts in the recent years to see day and night worship expanded to our entire region. And so in His grace, we've actually, from Saudi Arabia to Bahrain to Oman, we've actually been able to lead teams into these three nations to do prayer and worship along with other workers and teams in those nations. And so it's been actually a really beautiful thing to see the Lord really igniting a desire and a love for His house. And something that we are believing for in the next year is that the Lord would raise up those singers, those musicians, those intercessors in the Arabian Peninsula, in the birthplace of Islam, that they would cry out day and night and we would see worship arise in our region. Mm-hmm.
And so as we've built up the house of prayer in Dubai, as we've reached 40 hours a week, we feel like the Lord is now leading us to find ways to take these values across the border into all seven nations in the globe. So we're really excited about that for 2024. So thank you guys for your support. We love you very much.
Thank you, family.
To see you again soon.
See you soon.
Amen. We love those guys in Dubai. They're so special to us. You know, we were told by a veteran missionary before we launched our team there around 10 years ago that if you could get a presence in that city, that strategic city of Dubai, you would wind up having access to all those countries there in the Arabian Peninsula. And so we just took that invitation from the Lord to go for it, and He raised up some really solid people. I mean, Kevin and Barbara are as solid as they come, and the team that's around them, they are our heroes. We absolutely love them, and I know that you're familiar with them if you've been tracking with us for quite some time, because they have been faithful, and they continue to be faithful. As you saw there in the background, that's their prayer room. That is what we do. We launch prayer rooms from the place of prayer. From this prayer room here, we have prayer rooms in all of our missions bases. We love that about our assignment before God. I'm all about all kinds of missions. I think it's all helpful, relatively speaking. There's so many good things to do and so many good ways to do it. But as we said last week, there's a model laid out in the book of Acts where Acts 1 comes before Acts 2. Acts 2, we're real familiar with. You know, the Spirit being poured out like a mighty rushing wind and revival and preaching going forth, going everywhere, and the gospel making advances. But before Acts 2 is Acts 1. What happens in Acts 1? These disciples gather together in a corporate environment to labor in the place of prayer, in obedience to Jesus' word, to wait upon Him, that they would be clothed with power from on high, and then they would be His witnesses into all the earth. They were obeying the Lord's command. They didn't know how long they were waiting, and that's not the point. The point is they were just doing it unto Jesus. And it was, as we said last week many times over, powerful praying will eventually turn into powerful preaching. Our prayer rooms are doing that. They have places carved out where these missionaries give the best of their day to the place of prayer and intercession, loving Jesus, ministering to the Lord. If you look at Acts 13, that is how this played out in the New Testament narrative, where men and women were gathered together and ministered to the Lord. And from that place of ministering to Jesus in Acts 13, the Lord would break in and say, "Now separate to me Paul and Barnabas for a new work that I have for them." Well, that's also transpired here in Dubai. And so our next video is a work that's transpired out of this place of prayer that's connected. You're going to see some of the same faces, but it's a new ministry that's focused on an evangelistic work amongst some very poor people in that area. Dubai is a very interesting city. It's a work culture where they bring in a lot of South Asians to work a lot of blue-collar jobs, and they work a lot. It's very degrading conditions, and there's just tens of thousands of them that they just live on top of each other in communities that are very compressed. And that's very, it equates to some very difficult living situations. But it also gives a very great opportunity for the gospel to go forward when these people are living in community. And so what you're going to see is Grant, we have two Grants on the same team, that they've come together and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, a work that has been set apart to begin to pioneer a work in those labor camps. And so they've got a number of other ministries that are now joined with them. They call it the 10-2 House, and it's out of Dubai. And so I want you to turn your attention to the screen, and let's look at the 10-2 House video.
Hi, Gate City family. My name is Grant Garner.
And my name is Grant Billings.
And we help lead an initiative called 10-2, which is based on the prayer of Jesus in Luke chapter 10, verse 2. Lord of the harvest, send forth your laborers into the harvest field. So we're in the United Arab Emirates, and let me just describe the environment a little bit. Inside this country, there has been so much development. It's grown up out of nothing over the past 50 years, and in order to do that, these big companies go to other nations such as India, Pakistan, Nepal, and Bangladesh to hire cheaper labor. They house them in tightly packed quarters that we call labor camps. And in these accommodations, sometimes 5, sometimes 10 guys to a room, they work long hours and receive very little pay. However, when many people look at this, they see a sad injustice. But we see one of the greatest opportunities ever to fulfill the Great Commission in our generation. That's why we started 10-2, which is a team that now has grown to include 9 ministers from 5 different organizations, as we seek to make disciples that multiply among South Asian laborers in the United Arab Emirates.
That's right, and there's lots of challenges surrounding that. There's a language barrier, there's a cultural barrier. We are learning Hindi, but it's not the same as being able to speak it as a native speaker. That's why we've discovered that it is absolutely essential to partner with local believers and train them to go and fulfill the Great Commission in the labor camps. Thanks to partners like you, Gate City, we've been able to hire a South Asian partner alongside our ministry. His name is Suleiman. He's a Pakistani Christian. And God has used him in ways that we never could have been used. And just a quick story about this. We had some leaders from a labor camp area from northern India that we had been working with for some time. This summer we did a training for them, just trying to get something started. And then afterwards we were going to do a picnic, but I couldn't do it because I had to teach at the House of Prayer. And so I sent our local partner. They all got together, and what started as a picnic turns into a huge group of people, about 15, mostly non-believing Hindus from northern India. And he just starts sharing the word with them. And one of our other team members went along and starts praying for the sick. And just right then, 2 guys get healed. And he casts vision to them. What if we met every week and we saw and we learned about God together from the Bible? And so they started doing it. They started meeting. We've seen fruit out of it. We've had 5 baptisms over the summer, guys giving their life to Jesus. And when I say miracles and signs and wonders start happening, I'm like, this is Book of Acts kind of stuff. This is jobs being provided, on-the-spot healings. This is healings for people in other countries. These guys saw so much that they started telling each other on the job site, hey, if you need anything, if you have any problem, you know, don't go to the supervisor. Come to me and we'll pray for it and God will do it. And that's awesome.
Yeah, we've seen God do so much. And in total, there have been 11 baptisms so far this year, including more Hindus, some more Muslims as well. Believing God for greater things, we want to ask you guys to commit to pray just 10 seconds a day for us. Pray Luke chapter 10, verse 2, Lord of the harvest, send forth your laborers into the harvest field in the Arabian Peninsula. There are over 1 million of these labor camp guys living in our city alone. And that's why we need to pray for more local partners in addition. And also, we want to pray for Suleiman, our local partner, that God would give him direction in his dreams that he desires to reach other nations and to share the good news abroad. In addition, we need wisdom to navigate the need that people have in their poverty so that we can help people without creating dependency. And also, we need wisdom in the multiple opportunities that God has put before us. Do we want to engage in kingdom business? Do we want to start some kind of ministry or mission school in the style of Sin 56? Do we want to have a discipleship house? Do we want to bring in movement leaders from Northern India and other South Asian countries? Do we want to take trips to these countries to help learn the language more effectively? And we want to have wisdom of how to impart House of Prayer DNA into the disciples that we make.
Yeah.
Again, we just want to say a huge thank you from the bottom of our hearts for all of your gracious love and support. It means so much for us here in the Middle East.
Thank you so much, guys. We love you.
We love you guys.
Amen. We love the Grants. Yeah, what they're doing is so amazing. I mean, can you imagine if we were able to replicate that in all the other nations around the Arabian Peninsula? Can you imagine Saudi Arabia has a prayer room and an outreach ministry into the labor camps, or Qatar or Kuwait or Bahrain? These very difficult nations that are very difficult to get into. But the Lord seems to be opening up a door, an effectual door for the work of ministry. And it's because we've got people like that who are willing to say, yes, here my Lord, send me. But again, it ties right back to the spiritual family. It's also because you also are willing to put your resources together to see the gospel completed in our lifetime. It matters what we do. It matters what we say we want to do. And you know, I believe that God is raising our faith, that we can be effective in our generation, that we don't have to just let another generation go by having done very little or nothing at all about the gospel going into all the world. Jesus said that the end was going to come, but before it was going to come, that the gospel of the kingdom would go into every nation as a witness, into all the world, to every nation, and then the end will come. And so I believe God is raising up a people that make it their ambition. They make it their obligation to see Christ glorified. That's what these guys are doing, and they're our heroes for it. Can you imagine those two guys speaking in Hindi? They took the time to learn the language. I was there a couple of trips ago, and they were ordering takeout in Hindi, and I was just fascinated by these country boys speaking Hindi, and they were understood very well. I was with them when they did some baptisms. It's legit. I mean, absolutely the most amazing things you'll ever see is to take somebody who's brand new converted and says, what must I do to be saved? And they say, let's go to the Mediterranean, or to the sea there, and let's baptize you immediately. Well, we want to raise money for these guys. They need it to continue to operate. I asked them, I said, what would it take to get you through that 2024? And so we've got a faith goal of raising $30,000 for those two ministries we just highlighted. And so I believe God wants to do that. And so just believe with me for that. Well, we're going to continue on and move into our sub-Saharan bases. We have a spiritual partnership, a family relationship with Sin 56, which in a minute I'm going to bring up Will Sheehy and talk a little bit about that. We have three hybrid bases that we've worked with and continue to work with Sin 56, where Gate City Global Missionaries and Sin 56 missionaries are all living under the same house, doing the same thing. And so we're going to talk about a base in Uganda, a base in Kenya, and a new base in Nigeria. This is very strategic by the Lord. There's amazing fruit that's happening with these initiatives in sub-Saharan Africa. It's a different approach, but it's a very similar approach in the sense of that it's through the place of prayer. Again, all of our bases have prayer rooms at the center of what they do. And that, I believe, is our portion to bring to the Great Commission. And so let's look at the video of the Uganda base.
Hi, Gate City family. Emmanuel Chiganda here, base director with Sin 56 in Tororo, Uganda. I'm so excited about what God is doing in Uganda, especially in partnership with you as a family of Gate City. God has been very gracious to us over the last year. And as a house of prayer, in August, we launched a night watch, meaning right now we are running prayer from Monday through Friday. It's 24 hours. We launched the night watch. We have a big team growing, singers and musicians. And it's because of your prayers and support. As a house of prayer, we have a number of volunteers that are coming from the local churches. Every once in a month, we organize a big worship gathering that brings over 100 people together. down here at our house of prayer to worship Jesus and to love him and express ourselves. And we have been so much actively involved in praying for the nation of Israel lately, the circumstances that are happening, and the prayer gathering we had for the whole world praying for Israel in May, the Isaiah 62 fast. So it's been a joy to partner with the entire world praying night and day for the purposes of God. We have sent more missionaries as a mission base to different locations in Africa, as many of you have heard, and you're going to hear from different updates from our leaders down here. I want to say thank you for your prayers and support. We are growing from glory to glory by the grace of God. I want to wish you the best. Keep praying for us. We believe God for 24/7. We have 2 days to go. Weekend. We need staff. We need some more volunteers. Just a little bit of money to support people. But people are willing to be in the prayer room, loving Jesus and interceding for the purposes of God to become realities in the nation.
Hello, my name is Dennis Wodulo. I am the director of TUMA, which is the missions department of St. 56 on the African side. And together with me today is one of our missionaries,
Paul Glover.
Paul Glover is serving in the Nuba Mountains of South Sudan. We have a mission base in a place called Yida. It's a camp, and our missionaries are there right now serving the Lord. And all our missionaries come from our mission bases, where they get to go through 2-year training. And so where we are standing right now is our Ugandan missions base. And behind me, you can see some of the classes. We have classes here, dormitories. This is a mission training school. We call it MAP school, a school of missions and prayer. It is very important that all our missionaries go through MAP school. And so Paul, with no exception, was one of the students at this MAP school in Uganda at some point, and today he's serving in the Nuba Mountains. How long have you served in the Nuba Mountains, Paul?
5 years now. Happened to join MAP school in 2017 and 2018. This is a school whereby I came and I got equipped,
yes,
in every good work of God. And by the time I came here, I was not having that good knowledge of God. Mm. And I was not having any experience of missions. Mm. So when I came here to be equipped, I got a chance to be set and get ready for the mission, knowing whatever is happening on missions, and knowing things that I should expect there.
Yes.
So I really want to appreciate you for supporting, because our staying here in the school, it gives us morale and gives us appetite. It boosts us for the missions, so that when we happen to launch there to go in the field, we are strong enough and we are ready enough, because when we are here being equipped, we even get enough time for prayers in the house of prayer to be able to go out and preach out the gospel.
Amen. And so every year, including 2024, we are taking in new batch of students in each of our bases. And so we look forward to seeing new students come in from different parts of Africa and join our mission schools. And after that, we send them to go and reach out to the nations for Christ. Together we can make this happen. May God bless you all. Thank you for supporting St. 56. Shalom.
Amen. Such good work happening there. Partly because of you, Mr. Will Sheehy is with us. Will is a good friend and part of our house here at Gate City. He and his family, you guys are co-founders of St. 56, and you were missionaries in Uganda.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about Uganda.
Yeah, we lived in Uganda for 13 years, so most of my kids were born there. My wife's here, Etta, Isaac, you guys say hey. He's the sharp one there in the front. This guy was born in Uganda, and the reason we went to Uganda is there was a powerful revival that began in Uganda in the 1920s and is continuing to this day, and it's just spread with this fire of the Holy Spirit, and then it was refined under this extreme persecution under Idi Amin, who was a radical Muslim president of Uganda that put Christians to death, tens of thousands of Christians. And there was a refining process that happened in the 1970s. And now there's this vibrant church, a mature church They're zealous for evangelism, zealous for intercession, and operating in the gifts and ministries of the Holy Spirit. And yet, nobody's going as missionaries. Ugandans make amazing missionaries. But when we got there in 2008, we didn't find anyone who's blowing the trumpet and calling Ugandans to missions, no one who's training them, no one who's sending them. And so we came in with that vision. And what we found when we started kind of blowing the trumpet for this is this mentality Ugandans have. We receive missionaries from the West. We don't send missionaries, we receive missionaries. And so we've had to really wrestle for this paradigm shift to say, no, you guys can be missionaries too. And it took a little while, but now, 15 years later, we have a thriving mission base. We have a two-year Bible college that's training Ugandans, and we have a 24-hour prayer room that's going 5 days a week. We want to hit 7 so you can pray for us, but we're going 24/5 right now. And these Ugandans come into this prayer room environment, encounter God. They take what they're learning in the classroom and it gets into their heart in a new way. And they receive personal calls and commissions from the Lord. I was looking at the video with Paul, the missionary, and I was just talking with him a couple weeks ago. And when he came to our MAP school, he heard about unreached people groups that have no access to the gospel at all, unless a believer comes to them from another tribe and shares the gospel with him. When he heard about this, it broke his heart. And he actually wept. And he came to us and begged us to send him to the mission field. And we say, slow down, Paul, you gotta graduate first. You gotta finish. And we finally finished, we sent him. And he's just a powerful missionary for the last 5 years. So we're just seeing the fruit of the African missions movement that's emerging.
Yeah, it's amazing. And so, you know, there's a place for Africans in missions. There's a place for Westerners in missions.
Absolutely.
There's just this beautiful synergy happening, I think, between the Gates the Global side, the Sin 56 side, where we're able to come together in this sort of hybrid initiative, come under one roof, and just go hard at it together.
I just want to say real quick about Gate City. You know, I share with a lot of churches in my line of work, and there's still what I call kind of a 20th century mentality of missions, where we, the Westerners, go out as missionaries to the rest of the world. But I want to tell you, things have changed in the 21st century. And these places that used to be the mission field now have strong churches, and they're sending out their own missionaries. And it's about 50-50 right now. The global missions force is about half Westerners, but the other half, guess what? They're not from the West. They're people of color, people from the global South. And that's a shift in the 21st century that God's done, but the church in the West hasn't really caught up with it yet in their thinking, in their strategy of missions. But I just want to commend Gate City because you guys are totally on board with what the Holy Spirit's doing.
Say a little bit more about the prayer room. You said it's 24 hours a day?
Yes, sir.
Say more about that. What's going on in the prayer room? You said 5 days a week and you've got teams and Harp and Bowl, and just like we would experience here, you guys are experiencing it in Uganda.
Yeah, it's just like it, and it's not just like it at all in a lot of different ways because it's the same kind of biblical universal principles. We sing worship songs corporately. We sing in the spirit. We contend in intercession in a very Ugandan way. So it's very different. It's different languages, different musical genre. It's very exuberant praise. They don't play minor chords. there's a lot of dancing that goes down, but it's a beautiful expression to the Lord. And I just got a video last week. I put up this wall and put displays of all our missionary cards. We have 60 African missionaries. We put them all up on the wall. And last week I got this video. They're all laying hands on the pictures and groaning and crying out and praying for the missionaries.
Wow.
And that's really why our 60 missionaries are so fruitful, because they've got a team in the house of prayer that's just crying out for them. We have 3 intercession sets a day, 2 hours, Harp and Bowl intercession. 6 a.m., noon, and 6 p.m. And we just launched the Night Watch in August. Wow. And so now we have a midnight intercession set too, where they're praying for the lost, praying for the Muslim world, praying for missionaries, and praying for Israel, and praying for America. Praise God, because we need it. They realize it.
Amen. Well, Uganda's got a special place in my heart. It's where myself and Ben Lawsall went, and we met the Diggs first, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago, I guess, at this point, maybe 12 years ago, and first learned about the strategy to reach the unreached and using the local believers of the land to reach the unreached of the land. And it was a revolutionary time. I knew that people were doing it, but I'd never heard of a strategy until that point. And you guys have just been faithful to that and are seeing fruit. And we just love being a part of what God's doing in the earth. So good. So we'll move on to the next one then. The next base is Kenya. Continue to partner with Sin 56 there at a high level to have this hybrid team. The Campbells, you'll see them in a minute. They're in their big family. They're the team leaders there. And then you'll see other people that are on the team as well, some familiar faces. They continue to do an amazing work in a strategic location in Kenya. And so let's turn our attention to the screen and watch the Kenya video.
Merry Christmas!
Greetings, Gate City, from the Campbell family. We're the team leaders here in Isiolo, Kenya, the Kenya base. Currently, our staff is all over, so you'll be hearing from them in different videos. But we just wanted to say thank you for your support this year. We've been very blessed, and Merry Christmas.
The Lord has done so much in our team this year. We've been really blessed to have a team of local Kenyans serve as our Dean of Students at the MAP School, the Matron for the MAP School, our mission-based administrator, as well as teachers and worship leaders. These guys are awesome, and it's an honor that we get to serve with them. It's been in the prayer room about 20 hours every week with times of intercession, worship with the Word, some devotional Bible study, our teaching every day at our lunch hour prayer meeting. And so we're excited to see how the Lord's going to continue to grow us. With the MAP School students returning back in February for next semester, we're excited to see how the Lord's going to continue to grow the house of prayer.
Hey, Gate City, this is the Andrews family here serving in Isiolo, Kenya with the team here. And just wanted to say a quick thanks and a short update on us, on the team. We're doing good. We're serving in MAP School here and doing well. Got about 30 students from different places in East Africa. And they'll be finishing school shortly, and we'll be sending some of them to live and serve in unreached communities. We were able to just go on a mission trip with them, take them on a mission trip to northern Kenya about a week ago, and it was great. We were able to plant seeds and water seeds and sing and worship in the streets and go to villages that are pretty much 99% Islamic. So we're thankful, and thanks for standing with us. We bless you guys and miss you, and thanks for everything. Amen.
Hi, Gate City. It was so great to see most of you a few months ago when we passed through. We're here in the States until the end of the year. Right now we're in Texas enjoying time with family for the holidays. Thank you so much for standing with us this year.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Thank you for all the giving. Bless you guys.
Hey, Gate City. I'm Chelsea. I serve in our East Africa base, but I'm currently in the U.S. right now on furlough until the end of the year to see my family and strengthen my support team. Since last year, my work permit was approved, and so I'm serving officially as a social media and brand manager for the House of Prayer in our town, trying to build day and night worship in the Horn of Africa while teaching and discipling the MAP students, leading in worship and leading in prayer, and also trying to reach my neighbors with the gospel. I bought a small piece of land, and so Lord willing, I'll be building a house in the next year, and so that's big and exciting. Just want to tell you guys how grateful we are for your prayer, for your continued financial support, for your love, and wish you a happy holidays.
Hey, Gate City family, this is Brooklyn in East Africa. This year in September, I was able to celebrate 8 years on the field. As many of you know, I've been working specifically with street kids coming off the streets for these last 8 years. And this eighth year is going to be a year big transition. I am actually stepping out of Gate City Global to move over to partner with another organization that is still in the same region, working specifically with youth and children. So I'm super excited to see what the Lord has as He moves me forward in this new role. Gate City is still my family. This base here is still my family, and I hope to see how the Lord will have us work together as one body with different roles. But I thank you guys so much. I'm so grateful for that community, for the home church, and I'm excited to see how things are going to develop and how things will cross over. But we thank you guys so much for your prayers, and continue to just send them our way. So we love you and thank you so much. Greetings from Rafa House.
So, as you can see, we have a lot going on here at the Kenya base, and we truly have an amazing team here on the ground, but we believe we are an extension of Gate City. And so, to finish this video, we really just want to say thank you, church family, for your love, your support, your text messages, your words of encouragement, your financial support. We could not do what we do if we didn't have you, and so thank you so much.
So, as you guys think about us, we want to ask you to pray for three things. One, that the Lord would continue to build night and day prayer here in Isiolo. Two, that the Lord would continue growing our team together with one heart, one mind, one vision. And that third, that the Lord would bring those young African men and women who have a real call to reach unreached people groups, and that He would send finances to us so that we can send them out to the unreached people groups of Africa after they graduate. So thank you guys, we love you. Bless you so much.
Let the nations bow down and worship you. Let the nations bow down.
Our Kenya team is doing such an amazing work. You know, we don't do Christian tourism, right? Vacationaries. We send people to hard places, and that's right. A hard place.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever get to meet any of our missionaries who live there, just interview them on the living conditions of Isiolo. It's
so
difficult.
The first time I went to Isiolo, this is a true story. So I'm taking a team of Ugandans, and we're going to go see the digs at the new mission base in Kenya. And they said, well, you may have to stay at the town outside because there's riots going on right now. And the taxi drivers are rioting, and there's gunshots. People are being, it's really violent. You may have to spend the night there. And so that's how we kind of got into it. So then we finally get there, and I stay overnight. The next morning, I'm pulling out of town, and this guy comes up to my window, and he says, "You Americans, you white people, I hate white people. If you were in my country, I would cut you into pieces." I'm like, where am I? What's going on here? That's where they moved. I'm like, the digs moved here? This place is crazy. But they're still there all these 8 years later. We still have a team there, and they're changing that place. On that same streets, they go and preach the gospel openly every week and share with these guys the gospel. And the love of Jesus is transforming that hostile community.
It takes a certain level of crazy to do this kind of work, that's for sure. We're so proud of them, though. The base there is just evolving, and just, I mean, you guys are getting ready to purchase. You purchased land. You're getting ready to continue to build on it. Talk about that. What's happening there behind the scenes with the future?
One thing that's exciting about the Kenya base, we started the Uganda base first, and then in partnership with Global, we started the Kenya base. The cool thing about the Kenya base is proximity, because it is right there up against everything north of there is Muslim. It's a majority Muslim city. And so a lot of the students we get are from Muslim background believers from these unreached tribes or tribes very closely related to them. And the reason that's so exciting is there's this principle that Paul the Apostle lays out in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 20, 21, 22. And he says, this is a missionary principle. He says, when I wanted to reach the Jews, I became like a Jew and came under the law of Moses, even though I was free from it, so that I could win the Jews.
And when I wanted to reach the Gentiles, I had to become as one who was not under the law, though not without the law of Christ in my heart. So, but I had to dress like them. I had to eat what they ate. I had to talk like they talked. He switched from Hebrew to Greek. He switched from the Hebrew garb to the toga. You know, he started eating unclean food. Why? So that I might win them. And there's this idea that in order to, if you're targeting a certain people, you have to become like them. And the more the missionary is like the person they're trying to reach, the more effective they'll be at winning them. Of course, that wasn't Paul's original idea. He got that when the Son of God said, if I want to win the humans, I have to become a human so that I can win the humans, right? Yeah, incarnation. True. Tie that into a little Christmas season here and give a missionary application. That's what we have to do. We have to become more and more like. So the exciting thing about the Kenya base is the missionaries we're putting out from there look like the people we're sending them to, talk like them, dress like them, eat like them, because they are them. They know the culture. They know the worldview. They were brought up in Islam, and they have this intuitive understanding in how to communicate, how to tug on the heart desires and felt needs of the people they're reaching in a way that's a big learning curve for me. If I was to go there, it would take me 10 years to get where some of these guys are on day one. So I'm just super excited about how God's using that base in Kenya to draw in and send out those kind of missionaries that are just so effective.
So the base is expanding. It's moving into a place that's visible so that that can continue to grow and those kinds of things. The Campbells, the first family that you saw in the first frame of that video, they do ministry out of their house. And so they bought a plot of land next to the prayer room that's going to be built. And I asked the Campbells, I said, what would it take to just get you past that big goal? What kind of dollar amount are we looking at to be able to get you guys into the house, get it built the way you need it for ministry and those kinds of things so that you can just continue to press on? And they were like, well, we're about 74,000 short. And I just turned to our leadership guys. I said, what would it be like if we could just raise 74,000 and give these guys their house there in Kenya? They've made such sacrifices. They're raising their family there. They're doing homeschool. They're leading a base, this hybrid base of Western missionaries and African missionaries. And they're just so solid. I spent a week with them about 2 months ago, and they're doing so well. And they see this as their family. And I just thought, what if we could do that? What if we could raise $74,000 to get these guys their house built?
You know, I think that's such a worthy project because we're building the house of prayer in the mission base. We're doing a building project, so you can pray for us. And what happened is the Campbells were able to get a piece of land adjacent. So we tore down the back fence and opened it up, and now the Campbells are building their house right there. And the cool thing about the Campbells family is they really do discipleship around the table. And they bring in, when I visited them, they had all the MAP school students over to their living room, cooked dinner for them, and we had a connect fellowship time. They do that regularly. They have their team meetings in their home. And so the idea of having the table right next to the altar there, to use some Gate City language here, is just a beautiful design for a compound. And a lot of people wouldn't want to do that. A lot of people like to have a little distance between, but they're like, no, put us right there in it. We want to get fully immersed and bring people in and out of our homes.
Amen. Well, good. We got one more base there in sub-Saharan Africa we want to talk about. And so if you would, turn your attention to the screen. We'll look at our Nigeria base.
Hey, Gate City family. This is Jesse and Rochelle Diggs with Send 56 serving in Nigeria. What a year it's been. Last year, our family moved to this city in the center north part of Nigeria in order to lay the foundations for our third missions base. We've been working together with Chris and Anna Gazzardo and have seen incredible progress.
Yeah, in September, we brought in our first class of student missionaries. They're going through the two-year training school called the School of Missions and Prayer. And our team is taking time to go with them through a curriculum that's focused on personal discipleship, theology, introduction to the prayer room, Bible study, as well as other topics like missional topics, like Islamic apologetics, introduction to Arabic, and other things. So weekly we go out and do person-to-person evangelism, We have so many opportunities to share the gospel with Muslims here, answer questions, bring the gospel to them. And we're also organized with other local believers and missionaries to bring the gospel to the poor, serve the poor, and Muslim background believers.
Yeah, we actually started hosting prayer in our living room, and we've since moved into our own facility in the heart of the city. So Christians are hearing about the prayer center just by word of mouth and have been joining us every day. We had our soft launch of the prayer center by hosting 2 hours of prayer each morning during the 21-day fast for Israel. And we've really been teaching on and focusing on prayer for Israel, even as we're watching the conflict in the Middle East unfold. We believe God is raising up prayer all around the world for such a time as this. And since that time, by the grace of God, we've actually expanded to 19 hours of corporate prayer worship every week.
So we're excited because in February, we want to have a hard launch of the prayer center and let the whole city know what we're doing. So we're going to have a conference. Billy's coming, Chan is coming, and Will is coming out. And we want to really let everyone know that the prayer room is open for the first time. So just thank God for what he's doing and for your partnership. We love you, Gate City family, and we bless you guys.
God bless you guys.
Amen.
Love you.
Bless you.
Good morning, Gate City. I'm Chris Gazzardo, and my wife Anna and I have been serving in Nigeria with the Digs. In addition to what they already shared, we've been connecting with orphanages across our city and ministering God's love to them. They're so precious, and we are hopeful as we look into 2024 just to be able to impart the love of the Father to them and to bring healing and wholeness. Personally, we came back earlier this year to have our third child, Micah, and he was born safely, and we'll be heading back to Nigeria in January.
From our whole family, we want to say we thank you for your prayers and your support, and we love you guys. Bless you.
Amen. Amen. I think I saw Chris Gazzardo here. Give a hand hold. There's Chris Gazzardo. Amen. Certainly grab him after service and ask him questions about what they're doing in Nigeria. But Will, tell us why. So, I mean, this is a grassroots project. It's not as advanced and evolved yet, obviously, as the other bases. Mm-hmm. Time will, you know, have to play into that. But This is an important one. Why is Nigeria important?
You know, what really put Nigeria on the map for us is it, out of all the 54 countries in Africa, Nigeria has the greatest need for missionaries. There's about 68 million people who live within the unreached people groups of Nigeria alone. And so we were doing research, canvassing the continent, and we saw that's the greatest need for missionaries. Now, the challenge is Open Doors watch list. They just put out their watch list of the top 10 most persecuted nations every year. And right now, Nigeria is number 6. In the 6th most dangerous place to live on the earth as a Christian. And what's happening is it's kind of confusing because there's kind of two Nigerias. There's the Christian South, which, you know, there's a robust expression of Christianity and some popular worship songs come out of there and things like that. But then there's the Muslim North, and I believe there's, if I'm not mistaken, I think there's 13 states that are under Sharia law in northern Nigeria. And then you have what they call the middle belt in the middle, which is where the overlap is. And that's where most of the persecution is happening. There's this big campaign from the radical Muslims doing jihad to cleanse the middle belt. And so they're raiding these villages and they're putting Christians to death and displacing them out of their homes so that they all have to leave the middle belt and flee, and it becomes Muslim territory. So there's a big battleground there, but there's this certain city kind of just south of that battle line, right on the doorstep of the Muslim North, where we're planting our base there. And it's just so strategic. It's a, I think the city's about half and half Muslim, Christian, and there, just like Kenya, there's a lot of believers coming in from these unreached tribes who we're able to equip. The primary tribe that's driving this jihad campaign is the Fulani tribe. And we just started our MAP school there in Nigeria, and we got 6 students. 2 of them are Fulani. Wow. So we've got 2 Fulani guys getting trained and equipped and ready to go to their own people, their own tribe as missionaries. So I want to commend the Diggs. I want to commend the Gazzardos, because this city, this persecution is kind of recent, how it's ramped up so much. And a lot of missionaries and organizations have left that city because of the pressure. And meanwhile, these guys are going in to the same place. Amen. So just courage for the gospel. I appreciate you guys.
Amen. That's a great point. Certainly takes lots of courage to be a frontier missionary. And so we're just super proud of all those guys. We've got one more video for you. And this is our guys, our brothers and sister in Mexico. And though it's not an unreached area, this is a very dangerous place in Mexico that they live. They are surrounded by drugs and cartel and gang activity and violence on all sides. And they've been there plugging away faithfully. And so I will play the video. Just know that the wind picked up as they were shooting the video, so it can be a little hard to hear. It's about a minute and a half. And so let's watch the Mexico video.
Hello from Holy Place House of Prayer. These 4 girls, 3 of them have been with us for 3 months doing an internship and discipleship. One of them has been with us for a month. They're from different parts of Mexico. One's from the Huasteca, one's from Mexico City, one's from Villa de Reyes, and one's from San Fernando. And we've just been teaching them intimacy with Christ and the worth of Christ, and the Lord has really, really encountered their hearts, and they're about to go home to be with their families for the holidays, and so we'd ask you to please pray with them. They really want to follow the Lord. They want to continue to serve Jesus. They want to do whatever He's telling them to do, and because they've really gotten gripped with worship and prayer and mission while they've been here. So we ask you, please pray with them.
Amen. So that's Roman and Annalisa. They're part of our community, did our internships and all the things that were required to come on staff and then launched out. And I wanted Dustin to come up and share about Mexico, because you've been there 4 or 5 times, you said earlier, and you're getting ready to go again. So tell us a little bit about Holy Place House of Prayer.
Yeah, Mexico's a special place. Roman and Annalisa, just so you know, and I'll emphasize this in just a moment, but Roman is actually from Matamoros. And while he was living there, he was amongst the crime syndicate, and I mean, he was a bad dude. And he made his way to America, got a job, and ultimately would land himself in our spiritual house in the prayer room. And the Lord would just begin to work through, just work on his heart. And he began to do outreach, inner city Atlanta. And unbeknownst to him, he began to get burdened to go back to his home city and begin a ministry. And Roman, when he left, he had no plans on going back to that place. But God's unusual, isn't he? And he sent him back there. And he and Annalisa, his wife, have done a remarkable work. They went into this dark place. They began from the place of prayer, establishing a house of prayer. And then outreach begins to happen in this really needy community. And he just didn't stop there. But the Lord would open up opportunity about an hour from Matamoros, going a little further into Mexico, out on the beach. And this particular area is a fishing community that's utterly controlled by the cartel. They run the whole area. And long story short, the Lord gave favor to Roman. The man who runs the cartel in that area actually gave property for the house of prayer to be built on. And so that happened, which is unique. And they began to do ministry and incredible ministry out of that. And then a little bit later, they go further into Mexico, out into the desert, a place called Villa de Reyes. Again, house of prayer, praying, seeking God, that community there. And then outreach begins to happen. And then shortly after that, they go to the rainforest. You may not believe this, but you know, Mexico actually has some almost unreached areas in the sense of the people that live in these places. They come from the Mayans and they have their own dialect. So we've traveled there and we've seen the work. It's a beautiful house of prayer that's there. And when we first arrived, when I got there, the house of prayer had just started construction, and we got out of our van, and Roman says, "Man, let's just start to preach right now." So really, okay, we just get out and we start to preach. A little crowd of about 30 people gather who've never heard the gospel before, because they lived up in the mountains and don't get down the mountain very much. So we share the gospel. I preach and make sure it's clear. He helps to translate. And then 29 out of the 30 people give their heart to Jesus right there on the spot. I mean, exhilarating. So what we want you to catch here is, like, from the place of prayer that Roman embodies and his team, we're just seeing the gospel do incredible things. So just to highlight Mexico, any other thoughts on Mexico before we transition?
Let's go to prayer, good. I guess.
Yeah, so cool what God's doing. So what we want to do now is move into a time of giving. And then after we give, we want to have a special time of prayer for all of our missionaries. What I want us to get, and I want you to hear this, why we take time and show all these videos, is because all these folks, they're our spiritual family. They've come from this community. They've come in and become part. We married them, right? We've been there for their babies to be born. I mean, they're part of the substance of who we are. You just heard from Pastor Chikanda in Uganda. He came last year and did an internship and spent a long time here. I mean, when you ask Chikanda, what church does he belong to? He'll say, "I'm part of Gate City in Lawrenceville, Georgia." That's how they think of us. Most places will give to missions with outside missions organizations, which is great. That's wonderful. That's what I was used to for the bulk of my Christian life. But God has given us, our spiritual family, something really unique, that these expressions are actually part of us. They're our brothers and sisters. I want you to feel the weight of that, feel the beauty of that, and also feel the responsibility of that as well. That when we give, it really is going to our family members that are giving up so much to be in these places to serve the Lord. So be thinking about that. That's the first thing I want you to catch. The second thing I want you to get is this, that the Bible tells us in Acts 1 that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Anybody heard that verse? It's Acts 1:8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And I could just give you the Dustin translation of that. And you will be my witnesses in Lawrenceville, in Georgia, in the United States, and the farthest places on the planet. That's what that's saying. So we as Christians have a responsibility not to pick between which one are we going to do. Well, I'll pick Lawrenceville, or I'll pick the United States, or I'll pick Uganda. We're actually called to do all those at the exact same time. And that's what we get to do, is see the gospel go forth in that way. So we want to open up this offering that way. I want to ask you to pray. We're going to take a moment and pray. And I'm going to ask you to give, but I want to go a little further and say, give till it hurts a little. That's called sacrificial giving. I've already talked to my wife, and we have an amount that we're going to give, and we know it's sacrificial because it hurts a little. For some of us in the room, $5 may hurt a little. For some of us in the room, it may be $50 or $500 or $5,000. But God uses sacrificial giving in supernatural ways. So I just want to unapologetically ask all of us to pray and just ask the Lord, "Lord, how can I sow? How can I take part in seeing these needs be met? Let's get the Campbell's house built." We can do that in a room this size. We can see that done. We can get the resources to the base in Dubai and give them what they need to continue the ministry that's going on there and the rest of the bases that you heard about. So let's take a moment. Let's pray. The ways to give as you're praying are right there on the screen. You can scan the code. It'll take you directly where you need to go to give. If you're going to give by check, you can write it on an envelope and put it in the black box, or you can simply text 77977, 77977, and you can text that, and it will give you a link to give as well. And we're opening up the giving, not just this Sunday. If you came today and you weren't prepared to give, we're going to have a moment to give every Sunday for the rest of this month as we continue to build toward our goals and what we believe as a spiritual family we're capable of, to see these things and these needs met. Amen? All right, so you know how to give. Let's just take a moment before you decide on an amount. Let's just take a moment just before the Lord and just ask Him. You know, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. We're not here to put you under any pressure. We're just here to say, Lord, we are so grateful because you have given us much. And we recognize, Lord, your word teaches us to much that has been given, to much is required. And Lord, we want to feel the joy. We want to feel the responsibility. We want to connect, Lord, to what you're doing in the earth. And we want to give. So Lord, show us right now. What is that amount, God? We're asking you, Holy Spirit, just whisper that, Lord, in our hearts. And give us the courage and faith to really believe you. That when we give, it's a way we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in our finances. And when we do that, Lord, we are confident that you're going to add everything that we need when we prioritize, Lord, what you're doing and what you've asked of us. By faith, Lord, thank you for speaking. In Jesus' name. And let's take about 30 seconds just begin to give in whatever way you choose to give, and then we'll come together just for a time of prayer.